Hello, beautiful people. My guest today is Steve Weatherford. And Steve is somebody who I've wanted to have on this podcast for a long, long time. Steve was a Super Bowl champion, almost won the Super Bowl MVP as a punter, which is unheard of, and had a great career. But the reason why I really wanted Steve on this podcast was not for anything that he did in the NFL. It was more because I've been incredibly impressed with how he's navigated after his NFL career has been over. He has started successful businesses. He's become a creator. He's put his life online. And I've really enjoyed the look into how Steve has navigated. It's really incredible when you have somebody who is willing to put so much of themselves online. And I love how he has been able to parent and who he's been able to put his flaws out there and his vulnerability. We talked about that, and we talked about how it might seem as though he's been successful at all these points, but the struggle and the journey has really been what has molded Steve into the person he is today. I also want to note that around the 17 to the 25-ish mark of this episode, Steve's audio gave out, so he's recording from his camera. And I just left this part in intentionally because of how impactful it was to me. So without further ado, let's get into this incredible episode with Steve Weatherford.
Interesting people, thought-provoking conversations, nutrition for your brain. Journey through the minds of the world's top performers and discover what it really takes to achieve your highest version. This is the Danny Miranda Podcast.
490 days ago, Steve, I first reached out for you to come on this podcast, and just goes to show, if you keep at it, if you keep pushing, something will happen. So thank you. Thank you for making this dream of mine, which started 490 days ago, a reality today. Thank you.
Wow, man, I'm so honored. There's been a lot of different podcasts that I've gone on, Danny, where like they spend a really long time in preparing this thing. And when I say a really long time, like they do a bunch of Wikipedia searches and then they talk for like a minute and a half. And then I'm like, wow, man, I'm really honored. That was different. That was super short, but I feel more honored than somebody that did a bunch of research because, man, that kind of shows to me your faithfulness, you know, not your faithfulness to me, but like, I want all the listeners that are hearing me and maybe have no idea who I am. That's totally cool. I'm not here for you to know who I am. I'm here for you to move forward and to think better about what you're thinking about. And for some of the things that you're not thinking about, I want to encourage you to think about those things. But one thing you should know, I don't know Danny Miranda from the dude down the street, but one thing I do know, you're faithful to your vision, you know? And I'd look forward to getting to know more about what your vision is. But I feel like if you've wanted to get alongside me for almost 500 days, man, what an honor. Man, I'm believing that this is going to be a gift to you, not from me, but just the vision that you have, man. And I believe our conversation will really, really impact people. And a big part of that is because of your faithfulness, man. So way to pick the thing that you want and the goal that you want and the thing that you want to bring into the world and staying focused on it, man. I'm really excited to be here with you. What an honor, man. 490 days of walking it out to make it happen. And just so you guys know, everybody that's listening, we tried to make this thing happen last week, and literally, it was a good 20 minutes, and I'm like fighting around with the audio, like we could see each other, and sometimes I could hear him, and then I would screw something up with the buttons, and then he could hear me. We never got anything to work, and so normally, the lifestyle design that I've created for myself is I don't do things like this on Friday, but because Danny has been so persistent and faithful to make this thing happen, I'm also kind of doing something that I wouldn't normally do because I also want to be here with you too, Danny, because I really admire people who are persistent. I admire people who take shots. But a lot of people take shots. A lot of people have dreams. But how many people are willing to stay faithful and consistent and really, really stay in that maturation process of getting to where it is that they want to go or becoming who it is that they want to become. Because that's where I feel like a lot of people may fail in living out portions of their dream or living out their dream life is they quit too soon. You know, and I think faithfulness doesn't cost anything. But man, it's a really, really rare commodity when you do have or you do find somebody who is a faithful friend or faithful to their vision. Because here's the deal. I don't know what kind of friend you are, Danny, but man, if you can be faithful to a vision like you are to this podcast and to getting great guests on that really inspire you and challenge you to think better, man, if you can apply that same faithfulness to being a friend, that you can be the greatest gift that somebody could ever have because you'll just show up. And that's really what faithfulness is showing up, showing up, showing up. Being talented. It's not being smart. It's showing up. So I honor you, man. That's really cool. Thanks.
Thank you for honoring me. It makes me feel seen. And I appreciate that tremendously. I want to turn the tables though and make this about you. Obviously, that's why I brought you here. I want to know about you getting sat down with your father at 17 years old and your father asking you, are you on steroids, Steve?
Yeah, it was probably, let me turn my headphones down just a little bit. It was probably like to that point, my dad loved me, man. My dad was really, really consistent and faithful. And that's kind of like why I recognize that in you because it's something that I've been talking to my buddies about lately. It's one of the one character traits about my dad that I never really saw value in because faithfulness is not flashy, you know? So I say those things to kind of set the context for my dad was an amazing dad, but he wasn't like a flashy dad. And he also grew up with a father that didn't necessarily understand the love language of words of affirmation or physical touch. So my dad didn't get that from his father. And so that wasn't something that I got a lot of from my dad, but he's really faithful. He's really consistent. He was always there. And so I say those things to say one day my dad called me at school. I didn't have a cell phone. So he called me at the school office and I had to come from class and I picked up the phone and my dad said, hey, like with the stern tonality to his voice, but also like a caring and a patient tone, which was like a really curious tone for me because normally it was like just one way, stern, you know, but loving. And so he said, hey, I want you to come to my office right after school and I'd like to talk to you. And so I was like, I don't know how to take this. So I ended up, school's over, about 30 minutes later, I'm in his office. He sits me down. He goes, we'll make this short. He said, I've heard rumors from different people in the office that that you're taking steroids. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry, but we're going to go get you some help. And at first I kind of started to like sit up and then I leaned back in my chair because I realized that in that moment I had created so much change in myself and in my body that even my own father thought that I was cheating. And so kind of like for you, you know, you've been really faithful to be able to get to this point. And I'm sure you've been faithful for other guests as well and faithful to this mission. I was really faithful to that dream as well. I was obsessed with that dream, you know, working out two times a day. And that's not an exaggeration, literally two times a day, like 7 days a week. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was overtrained. I didn't know what my nutrition was doing, but I was moving. I was making it happen. And when somebody like that really means a lot to you, initially you can take offense to something like that. But I thought to myself, I'm like, man, that's the greatest compliment my dad's ever given me, that you have changed so much that there's no way that you've done it in a natural way. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for from that question, but I do want to honor my father because my dad was a great dad, but he didn't necessarily know how to be like, hey, Steve, man, dude, you've been lifting weights for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, man, dude, I've been seeing you put in the work. Are you doing this naturally? You know, because man, I'm sure proud of you. I love you. You're paying your price, but dude, people around here are talking and I just want to make sure that you're safe and that you're being healthy. No, it wasn't like that. It's like, are you doing steroids? You know? So that doesn't make my dad incomplete. It just allows me to kind of see where I get to grow as a man because dude, I got six kids now, you know?
And we'll definitely touch into that. And one of the things I love is you speaking champion over your son every morning. I think that's the most wonderful practice there is. And I want to touch on your relationship with your son, but sons now. But I also want to talk about just what do you think makes the obsession? Why were you so obsessed? Like, what's at the deep root of the obsession, of the faithfulness we both share for our missions? Like, why do we get so obsessed? Where does that come from?
Well, I think there can be multiple areas for like the genesis of an obsession. I think there are some people that are born, you know, what they like to say, obsessive compulsive. But let's just like take that one out of the account. Let's just say for gen pop, general population, what makes those kinds of people obsessed? For me, it was a moment and it was an experience that did it for me. Like when I was 11 years old, I was invited to a concert. And I'm just going to write one thing down that I want to make sure that I mention after this. But I was 11 years old and I got invited to, it was really, I'd call it like a strength concert, where they had a bunch of strong men that came together. And these men would travel all around the country. There's like six or eight of them. And they would, you know, in a high school stadium or in a gym or in a church, and they would have, you know, 300, 400, 500, 1,000 people. And I got invited to one of these, and I've never been. I was 11 years old, and I loved WWF when I was a kid, Danny. And I remember going to this, and it was like 400 or 500 people, and I was 11. And I looked over, and heck, you could like barely see over people's heads because everybody's standing the whole time. Because I'm talking, this is like sensational. They're bending bars over their head. They're breaking like stacks of like 15 bricks. They're on fire, breaking handcuffs, carrying refrigerators in on their back. Just like the most bizarre things that you'd ever see. And it was things that when I was a kid, Danny, because I'm older than you, I'm almost 40. When I was a kid, you only saw things like that on TV, like at certain times, like 5 o'clock on Sunday, you would see this. And so we would all huddle around the TV. It wasn't like the kids have it now. It's like you got hours and hours and hours of YouTube content and you can just binge on it. Bro, we could only get it like 30 minute doses at a time. And it was like WWF, you know, not WWE, WWF. I'm talking Andre the Giant, British Bulldog, Ravishing Rick Rude. Some of you guys might not know, but these are the old school Hulk Hogan guys. So that was really the only like bigger than life people that I'd seen. And then there's athletes like Michael Jordan, but you only see people like that on TV. So that's 11 years old. And I remember weaseling my way up to the front of the stage. And I'm like, these dudes are bigger than I even thought that they were. I mean, these guys are 6'6", 6'8", you know, and arms bigger than my head when I'm 11. And so I can barely see over the stage, Danny. And so I remember having my chin up here and watching these guys do all these amazing things. And I grew up in church, but my dad, and I honored him earlier, but I said he's faithful, not flashy, right? Mm-hmm. My dad, like, he wore khakis. My dad tucked his shirt in. My dad was an accountant. My dad drove a station wagon. Amazing guy. But my dad couldn't slam dunk a basketball. My dad didn't have big arms. You know, my dad didn't have a mohawk with, you know, tattoos like the WWF guys, right? So it wasn't that I didn't respect my dad, but my dad looked like everybody else at church, you know, not flashy. And some of those dudes weren't even faithful. So my dad was actually set apart from the men at church, but he was still like one of the men at church. And this is the first time, Danny, that I saw like, whoa, wait a second. These dudes are like a mixture of WWF, boldness, courage, size, strength. But I see it coupled for the first time with like kindness and like gentleness. And at the end of all of these physical feats, all these guys weren't saying like, I'm the strongest, I'm the best. And then another guy push him out of the way and say, I'm the, no, every single one of those people were giving credit to somebody or something else. And it was Jesus. And I was like, I've heard about this Jesus thing at my dad's church, but I want to know about this Jesus. And so as they began to kind of talk about their own personal journey of developing a relationship with Jesus and how their life changed, they said, you know what? You can do it too. And so the last guy that got up there, they put a pair of handcuffs on him, Danny. I mean, like a cop came from the back and put them on. And so like I could see, I was 11 and I was standing like 6 feet away with my chin on the stage. And I could hear the metal clang. And I'm like, those are mother flipping real, bro. And he said, you know what? bring another pair. So another cop came from the back, Danny, and this dude's got two pairs of handcuffs. Now, remember, this story is predicated by you asking me, how did you become obsessed, or how do people become obsessed? And this is the experience, this is the cathartic moment that kind of changed what I thought was possible in my life. And I believe that's when people really, that's when like a dog gets on a bone, meaning that's when he gets obsessed, is when he thinks it's possible, right? So that's for me, and I believe for everybody listening to this, as you listen to this conversation, I'm believing that because the Holy Spirit, the creator of this universe, went before me and is amongst us right now, I believe that our conversation are going to allow you to see what's possible in your life, and then you get to decide what you get obsessed with. But I'm believing that this episode can just be possibility for you, and you choose what you get obsessed with. I just want you to believe that after this episode, anything is possible. There's a tattoo that's tattooed, or there's a tattoo on my right arm right here, and you can't see it because I got it like 20 years ago. But it says Philippians 4:13. You can do all things, not some things. It says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And so when I got saved, when that guy said, you can receive Jesus Christ right now, I said, I want that. So I received Jesus Christ in that moment. And what that scripture means to me is now I can do anything because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, dying on the cross for our sins. Not only can I do all the things that those incredible, you know, guys that I feel like are built different than me, I can chase those things, but now I've defeated death. Now, even when my body dies, my spirit will live forever. And to like conceptually believe that and receive that at 11 years old, that changed my life. Now, this is where things get a little hairy, though. Because in that moment, like, I loved Karate Kid and Rocky Balboa and Pistol Pete, and I'd watch these movies, and I'd be like, I want to be that. But then I thought, oh, man, that's just for them. And then I had this moment where those guys were a possibility, and then I received Jesus. But then 3 months after that, I was about 12 years old, I was sexually abused by my male teacher two different times. And the first time I didn't tell anybody, and then there's like the guilt and the shame of like, oh, well, then I invited the second time. And so there's a lot of questions that brought up for me, Danny, like, well, does that make me gay now? And if God is real and he loves me, how could he let somebody like that do things to me? And so it wasn't like, oh, that was the moment where everything changed. Steve got obsessed and then just lifted weights and was successful and everything. It wasn't like that. You know, it was that moment, and then it was complete worthlessness and guilt and shame and dirtiness. And then about 6 months after that, I was introduced to pornography. One of my friends at school gave me a VHS, and I had never seen that before. I'd seen magazines, but now I actually own something. So then you get into, like, you know, the closet guilt of masturbation and pornography, and that continues on. And I can guarantee you 97% of the dudes that are listening to me right now watch porn. And like, I would say 95% of that 97% of those dudes kind of feel bad about watching porn and feel like, man, like, this is like, I don't feel good about doing this. But a lot of people don't realize that it's actually conforming how your brain thinks about intimacy. It's conforming how your brain will have expectations of women. Because a lot of things that, you know, guys watch on videos, not to, you know, get into porn, but a lot of things that guys watch in porn and they begin to form an appetite for that, a lot of the things that they see women do, like, are not comfortable or, like, even pleasurable for women. And so when they get into, ultimately, a marriage with women, they have this fantasy that women are supposed to like this certain thing or this certain thing or whatever, like to do it this often or whatever. And then they get married and the women are like, no, that actually hurts, or I don't like that, or, you know, like, no women like that. But because you've just been watching hours and hours and hours of these different women who are getting paid to go through different things they don't want to go through, it will conform your mind. And so that's just one of the different ways that something like that given to you in doses, people don't realize it, but it's slowly killing possibility in your life. And I believe that there's only one thing to permanent change. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, that's certainly a pattern. It was a pattern for me for 23 years, because it wasn't like after I was exposed to it and I liked it, it went away. For 23 years, that followed me around. And so I feel like my story, just in general, is similar to yours, you know, and at least what I know of you. Man, I'm faithful, you know, because it, like, at no point was it easy, but then I came up to the point at 36 years old, Danny, after playing four sports in high school and being an All-State in all of them, going to college and being two-sport All-American in track and in football, then going to the NFL, playing for five different teams, winning fittest man in the NFL twice, Walter Mate Payton Man of the Year Philanthropic Award once, being a Super Bowl champion, setting a Super Bowl champion record, being a franchise tagged punters, like so many of these different things. But the reason that I was so faithful to go pursue all of these different goals wasn't because I was so obsessed with being the best, Danny. It's because this is what I wrote down earlier. And the other reason that people can become obsessed, and that's because they're operating from a wound. And that was what happened for me. When I saw Keith, that showed me a snapshot. Keith Kraft was the guy that broke those handcuffs and said, "In Jesus' name." And then he did the altar call, meaning he allowed everybody to come forward, raise their hand and say, "I'd like to receive Jesus." And the reason I mention that is because I made that choice because I wanted more, and I saw a possibility of a person and a group of guys that I wanted to be like. And then 3 months later, major trauma and sexual abuse happens to me. There's a wound that happens. But because I had all these questions, am I gay now? Does God love me? Can I still go to heaven? Why do I feel this way? Why do I, you know, like why do I wake up with nightmares? Are these ever going to go away? Like, how come, like, anytime anybody comes up behind me and hugs me from behind, I freak out? Like, all these different things. But, like, I'm a little kid, Danny. I don't know who I can talk to about them, so I didn't talk to anybody. So what happens? When trauma happens, if you don't treat the wound, stop the bleeding and treat the wound and bandage it, it's going to form and it's going to fester and it's never going to get healthy. And so that's the place that was my home base, was this trauma that was never treated. And so what did I put on top of it so people couldn't tell? Muscles, achievements, titles, records, notoriety, influence, and I just continued to accrue these things because if people knew that these things happened to me, that how dirty I was, and these habits and addictions and coping mechanisms that I formed because I don't want to deal with this, if they knew those things, they'd never want me in their life. I need to become the fittest man in the NFL twice now. That's not enough. Now I need to become the most philanthropic guy in the NFL because that's kind of like more like Jesus. Jesus would make it more about other people. I've already got all these like me awards and I don't feel better. Maybe I need to go get one of the you awards. And I did that, still nothing changed. Then I get to my 10th year in the NFL and I'm realizing nothing is going to shift this inside of me. And so I decided to retire. I got into TV, I got into media because I thought like maybe I'm supposed to influence people with my mouth and not by kicking a football. And I did that for 2 years and still this God-sized hole inside of me is like, it's big and it keeps getting bigger because all of these achievements that I continue to go out and achieve, Danny, they require more and more, right? Like if you do something once, the hardest thing to do is like defend your title. In my opinion, you can't really call yourself a real champion until you've won and then defended your title. You know, like a fighter, like, hey, it's awesome. But until you defend it, you're not undisputed. You're just the new reigning champion. And so, like, I don't know if that connects with anybody that's listening to this. Like, not just the operating from a wound, but what about how many times have you and I said, man, when I get this much money or this many downloads or this guest on my show or this girlfriend or this home, I'm going to be able to relax and be happy. Buddy, I'm here to tell you, I chucked a lot of those boxes. My Wikipedia page is on swole. You know, and I don't, it's funny to say that like that, but like I checked a lot of those boxes and very few of those boxes made me feel different than longer than like a couple hours or days. You know, and it's crazy because the sacrifice that goes into being able to have that special day or achievement or promotion, like the sacrifice is great, but if you're only doing it for the result of that, the result is never as sweet as what you think it's going to be. And so that told me, I'm like, okay, like, am I supposed to just forget about the results and just focus on the process? And I did that for a while, and I'm like, this doesn't help either. And then, Danny, and then I had the second experience, cathartic God experience of my life, and I've never turned back since. And that was at 36 years old. And I did that 2 years of media in New York, and then my wife and I flew out to San Diego, and we joined this church called Awaken Church, and this church invited me to a men's group or a men's event out in the desert, and there's 2,000 men at this event. And so it's the very first speaking event of, and this, we're in like this huge circus tent, 2,000 men inside, and I'm sitting about halfway back. We had some audio problems, so we shifted it over. So I'm gonna put us back on track. Before the audio, we were in the tent, about 2,000 men in there, and I'm sitting in the back. And if you guys didn't hear that clearly, this is where we're all. We're in like the middle of nowhere, Southern California, in the desert. And I'm with my 11-year-old son, and the keynote speaker walks up. They introduce his name. I don't recognize it, but he's a big old dude. He walks up with his white hair, and as soon as he speaks into the microphone, Danny, I don't even remember what he said, but as soon as he spoke into the microphone, it was like the most familiar voice that I'd ever heard, but it was also simultaneously, I felt like I got hit by like a lightning bolt, but not like pain, like a warmness came over my body and my skin started to like vibrate, like, you know, it was the craziest sensation. So I went like this, and I looked at the guy next to me, which is the guy that invited me. I said, Nick, what is this guy's name? And he like looks at his program. He's like, his name's Keith Graft. And I didn't recognize the name. And I'm like, there's got to be something about this guy, because as he's like talking to the microphone, it's like continuing to happen. So I Google his name, and like my body's freaking out, but not in a bad way, just like something's happening. And I Google his name, and the very first image that pops up on Google Images was him like breaking bricks with a mullet. And I'm like, that is the freaking guy. And so like my mind starts spinning, Danny, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Now remember, this is the second time that I got like, that I saw a possibility. And so I'm like, that's the freaking guy. And what I didn't really kind of like mention earlier when I said possibility is once that moment happened at 11 and I received Jesus, I went home and it changed everything. Like my mom got so mad at me because I started taking like iron hangers and bending them over my head in Jesus' name, and like rimbing the Sunday coupons. And back in the day, you didn't get coupons in the internet or email. Like my mom needed those coupons, and I'm ripping them in Jesus' name. And I asked for a weight set for my birthday, and I asked for all these different things because I wanted to start improving my body so I could be big and strong, right? Really changed me. And then here I am, I'm 36 years old, and that's the mother flipping dude. So he gets done speaking, and he's on stage with his son, and they're talking, but I can't hear anything that they're saying because like my mind is spinning, dude. I'm like, so I get up there and he gets done speaking, and I just vomit my whole Wikipedia page to him. Like he walks off the stage. I'm like, Pastor Keith, you're never going to believe this. When I was 11, and because of you, I started lifting weights. And because of you, you know, I played multiple sports and this, I'm the NFL's fittest man. I'm a Super Bowl champion. Like, it was because you gave me possibility to really go for it, because I thought a Christian was supposed to be small and meek and not have muscles and not go for it, not be a millionaire, all these things. He's like, that's amazing. Here's my number. Let's talk soon. And so he goes back to the mob of people, and I'm walking back to my chair, Danny, and I'm like, I feel like I'm walking on clouds, dude. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, not only did I realize in that, like that interaction that God was real, but I realized in that moment that God loved me, and he was working all of these things together for good. But I didn't realize it. But I also realized that he operates outside of time. Mm-hmm. Because if he would have sent Keith back into my life 3 years before that, a year before that, dude, I wouldn't have been at church. There's no way I would have been at that event. But it's kind of like that African proverb, man. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And the teacher appeared, but I was just so thankful that I was freaking paying attention, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm walking back to my seat, and I go up to my buddy Nick Unsworth, who invited me, and I'm about to unload this story on him because it's just now making sense. And I began to like vomit on him. And then I stopped midway and I'm like, Nick, where's my son? And he's like, oh, dude, you were so excited when you came back here. I forgot to tell you, dude, when they did the invitation, your son went up there and he just gave his life to Jesus. And so I'm like, I'm looking around and I'm realizing what's happening. But then it clicks that my son is also 11 years old. And then I thought about it. It happened at 11. I'm 36. It was 25 years. Both sons. And then I'm like that rattled my skull. And so the one really cool thing about when that happened and where I felt like it was like the second portion of me really going to my next level was at the beginning of that event, they gave every man, including my son, like a 2x4 with a piece of string and a hole on each end that we're supposed to wear like a backpack. This 2x4 supposed to take a marker and write down every burden that you showed up at that event with. So I wrote down addiction. I wrote down lust. I wrote down pornography. I wrote down pills. I wrote down rejection. I wrote down ADHD, like the things that like I feel like are just burdening me. And I wrote those things down. But I thought to myself, man, if I could just lay down, you know, if porn was never a part of my life after this weekend, man, I feel like I could win at life. I feel so defeated by this. And I wrote those things down. And then at the end of the event, we did a kind of a ceremony where each man would pray with another man and they would release that 2x4 into this giant bonfire and you would release it to God and let him take that burden from you. And I did that with porn and pills. And literally since that day, I have never gone there again. And that was kind of like the first time I was able to receive Jesus as my savior. And the second time, and this is what a lot of people don't realize, is there's a difference between Jesus being your savior and Jesus being your Lord. When he's your Lord, that means you bring your problems to him. The difference between Jesus being your savior and your Lord is when he became my savior, I knew in that moment that I had defeated the grave. I knew because of his sacrifice and I received that and I repented of my sins. Because of that exchange, I could live forever. At that point, he's my savior. He saved me. And at that point, I can go and live the rest of my life because a lot of people punch that ticket and they're like, okay, I'm going to live forever and I can kind of go and do what I want. And I kind of did that thing too. And then when I had that second really cathartic moment with God, when I knew it was him and he got my attention, at that point, things shifted and I gave him all of my burdens. And I said, you know what? I've been trying to do this thing on my own. I want you to take this. And what I want in exchange for this is peace. Mm-hmm. And what I want in exchange for this is purpose. And ever since that weekend, my life hasn't gotten easier, but it's had a purpose to it. And so I think there's a lot of people that are listening to this podcast who are in pain. You're either in pain right now as you listen to this. You just came out of pain, or you're about to go into pain. Because in life, the crushing is inevitable, right? And like when I say the crushing, like think about this. When each and every one of us was born, a lot of us like thinking, maybe even as you listen to this, like, man, I'm not a winner. Well, I'm here to tell you, you are. I'm here to tell you that you won the very first race that you ever ran. And everybody's like, how do you know? You don't know me. Well, when your mommy and your daddy got together and your dad decided to make a deposit inside of your mom that night, there were 599,999 other participants that were the loser. You're a winner. Like, you're a competitor too. A lot of people say, I'm not competitive. No. It's in your blood, man. It's in your DNA. That's how God created you. And so the reason that I say that is every single one of us has particular gifts. And I believe all of us have one shared purpose. And our purpose is to love God and to love his children. And so part of me like sharing this story with you is not just to entertain you, although I do think it is like radical to hear a story of somebody who's actually been able to like point out different times when like it could only be God, you know? And so now I've chosen to live my life where my goals and the way that I live my life, when it happens and I achieve some of the things that there's no way I could achieve them and it could only be God, that's when I feel like the radical power of God can be made known to other people, because there's a few people out there that are just willing to fail. There's a few people out there that are just willing to trust the promises of God. And when those promises come true, then everybody else gets to be the beneficiary of that person's boldness. And so the reason that I mention that is because I want to give every single person on here an opportunity, like, to make that decision. There's a poem that I keep in my phone, but I also have it printed out, and I'm happy to send it to every person that's listening to this right now. I'll tell you how you can get it here in a minute, but I want to read it to you. And I print this out, and I want you to print this out, and I want you to put it on your mirror, and I want you to read it to yourself, or read it while you're brushing your teeth. My toothbrush, my Oral-B, lasts for about 2 minutes, and that's about how long it takes me to read this. I'm going to try to read it faster for you.
Choose your heart, baby.
Yeah, man. It's a poem called Choose Your Heart, and I believe that this poem really just... it recalibrates me every single day, because every single day that you and I wake up, like, we want to move towards, like, the path of least resistance. But I believe when you make the decision on who you are or where you're going to go before hard comes and the decision's already made, then at that point you just become an executor. You become a dangerous man, because there's nobody that can negotiate with you. Like, you cannot be negotiated off of your goals. And so I want this to speak to you guys, but I also want this to be a gift for you. It's called Choose Your Hard, because being your best is hard, and being normal is hard. Making wise decisions is hard. Making poor decisions is hard. Losing weight is hard. Being fat is hard. Getting outside of your comfort zone is hard. Staying in your comfort zone is hard. Starting a business is hard. Working for somebody else is hard. Making a lot of money, I've done it, guys. It's hard. Making a little bit of money, I've done that too. That's hard. Being rich is hard. Being poor is hard. Having great relationships is hard, let me tell you, because that's my number one thing in life. And that's hard. It takes a massive investment. But having no friends or bad friends, that's hard too. Fighting for your marriage is hard. I've been married, just celebrated 15 years. And there was 3 or 4 times, buddy, when she should have walked out on me, but she didn't. You want to know why? Because she chose her hard. Living on purpose, it's hard. But living off of purpose is hard. Having a lot of things is hard. Having nothing is hard. Doing life God's way. Hear me when I say this, guys. Listen up. Turn up the volume. It's hard. But doing life the other way, I did that for 36 years. The anxiety, the depression, the loneliness, the shame, the guilt. And then in a moment, I believed that there was something bigger than me that loved me, that wanted my heart to be for a reason. And so that's really the question that I have for you guys is, everything is hard. Choose your heart. And I feel like in life, there's moments where, like, people take you to an opportunity to make a choice. And very rarely do you by design get to have a moment like I had in that desert. And this can be your moment. Your life can be split into two sections: before this moment and after this moment, because that's what a true king does in this earth. Kings give meaning to meaning, and you can give meaning to this moment right now. You can make this the experience that changed everything for you, and you don't have to buy anything. You don't have to swipe your credit card. You don't have to text message me or go to a website. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect life, that he came here to give us an example and to destroy the works of the devil, and that he volunteered himself to be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. Now, if you will just repeat these words, that I believe everything that Steve just said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He lived a perfect life, and he came to sacrifice himself for my sins. And I repent of my sins right now. And I believe that Jesus will forgive me. And I believe that I can be washed anew. And I receive this blessing in Jesus's name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you've never prayed that prayer before, I want you to know, you can't hear it right now, but in heaven, angels are rejoicing, because you didn't just decide to make a decision. You decided to take action. And this is the part of taking action. You just made a decision to let Jesus into your life, to let him into your heart. Now it's that action part. I'll give you a riddle real quick. There's 3 frogs on a log. One of them decides to jump off. How many frogs are on that log? There's still 3. Because once you make a decision, you still got to take action. And the action is aligning yourself with somebody who knows what they're doing. I made this decision years ago, and now I'm in my discipleship making process. So if you made that decision, I want a text message with you, and it will be me, not a robot. I want you to text message me the word "I decided." And if you send me that message, I'll know you came from this podcast. And the number is 949-763-5934. I have a gift for you if you made that decision. If you're listening to this podcast and you are recommitting yourself, I want you to message me the same thing, because I got a gift for you. And for every other person on here, one of the ways I would love to keep in contact and re-inspiring you and just staying connected, I'd love for you to text the same number and just say, "Hey man, I'm on board." Every once in a while, you're going to get a morning motivation. I'll also send my podcast to you that way. And I've got a really exciting lifestyle app that's coming out here in a couple of weeks. It's a fitness app right now, but now I'm getting a lot of my devotionals, a lot of my mindset training modules, and just a lot of the other portions and the strategies of my life that honestly allow me to live my best life. Because I do believe that the death that I am going to overcome dying, but my body won't. So while I'm here, I want to make sure that Danny Miranda's life and every other person that has an opportunity to hear me speak doesn't hear me sell them into my podcast or into coaching or my supplements, because I have all those things. But at the end of the day, I'm not here to sell you anything, man. I'm here to offer you something that you can't get anywhere else, man, because there's only one way to permanent changes, and his name is Jesus Christ. So Danny, for 490 days you have waited, but I'll tell you this, man. When people receive Jesus Christ because of this podcast episode, I want you to know that when you get to heaven, you also get to benefit from what happened here right now, because your faithfulness gave people an opportunity to step into a relationship with Jesus. And what we like to say is, your fruit is growing on my tree and my fruit is growing on your tree now, because we came together, we brought our gifts together. You gathered people and I brought a message and they made a decision. And I think that's teamwork, brother. Way to go, man. This is fun.
I love it, man. Let me ask you though, what happened between the 25 years? Mm. What happened? Like you got saved at 11, and then your son got saved 25 years later to the day.
Yeah.
But you went through all this period where, you know, you were shaving your arms and legs because you were embarrassed when you were 16. You physically got addicted to drugs and porn. You talked all about that, but like, what was it that put you down that path, do you think?
It was that wound. You know, we talked about operating from that wound. And because I felt my opinion of myself was I was worthless. My opinion of myself is if they knew how dirty I was or how like used up or like all these different things, then I would be worthless. And so I, outside of myself, because everything is bad here, I'm going to fix everything outside of me. I'm going to make my body big and strong. I'm going to like go achieve all these different things. And until you and I address the wound, we can't, none of these things outside of ourselves will ever shift how we feel about us. And so it was 25 years of me trying to fix inside of this with all of the action out here. So I had extrinsic value because I had no intrinsic value.
Mm-hmm. And what leads you to be so real online? You're one of the most real people I know on the internet. You are able to talk about cheating on your wife and smoking weed and these crazy things like that a lot of people would be ashamed of. How come you can lead with vulnerability like that? What allows you to do that?
I believe my relationship with Jesus, because if the opinions of other people have power, then ultimately they have power over me. So if there's something about me that I believe could give other men and other families permission to start the healing process, then I'll show my scars. I'm not afraid to show my scars, because I truly believe that the real men, the real Spartans that truly serve God, they're playing life for an audience of one. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a benefit to me having those conversations, because I'm not the only one who's been addicted to drugs. I'm not the only one who's had a porn problem. I'm not the only one who started dating their girlfriend or their wife when they were 19 years old and cheated on, like you said, cheated on them in college. And then, but we still made it to getting married. And now we have six children, and, you know, and we're constantly working on our marriage. I mean, I've been with her since I was a teenager, and it's still far from perfect. I'm constantly in my process, but at the end of the day, I'm not looking for the approval of anybody. For 36 years, I was working for everybody else's approval. And then in that moment, when it shifted away from God just being my savior and I had my Willy Wonka ticket that I wasn't going to burn in hell, that wasn't enough for me because life was still hard. So then I said, you know what? I'm going to play for an audience of one. And that means reading the Bible and learning, like, what is a righteous life? A righteous life is essentially doing life God's way. It's not that complicated, but there could be some pain involved. Well, there's pain involved in the life over there that I loved as well. Like, this pain has a purpose. I hope that answers your questions in regard to, like, how did you get to the point where you can share all of this? Well, I got to the point where I got breakthrough from it, and it didn't have bondage on me anymore. And the first time I mentioned, like, hey, I think I have a problem with pornography, to like one guy, and you become comfortable in that relationship and talking through it. And you're like, wait a minute. He knows some of the darkest things about me, and he didn't run away, and he doesn't hate me, and he doesn't think I'm a weirdo. And then you kind of like, you grow a little bit of confidence in that, like, other people share in the same issues and problems that I do. At least this guy does. And you see, you know what? Maybe I'm going to talk about it at Bible study next time, or maybe I'll mention something to another friend. And then you grow in your ability to communicate what it is you struggle with. And it gives other men an opportunity to be like, you know, I've never told anybody either, but man, I've struggled with that too. And I just believe one of the scariest things in life is to be fully known by another man. Like, when another man knows another man fully, it's really scary. But why? I believe some of the biggest breakthroughs is to be fully known, to be fully loved. And I believe that's full freedom in a relationship. And I believe there's an intimacy of male relationships that is like guys think it's soft to be like, hey man, I love you, man. I believe in you. I'm so proud to be your friend. Like, good luck this weekend. They think that's weird, you know? And honestly, like, my father didn't talk like that. But when you get around men that are so secure in who they are and whose they are, meaning, like, I know who I am. My name's Steve Weatherford. I'm a man of integrity, honor, and accountability. And I'm a son and a warrior of the One Most High. And, if you like me, that's awesome. And if you don't, that's okay. I still love you. But at the end of the day, your opinion of me really affects me none, because I have such an order inside of me that the disorder outside of me unfazes me. And I believe that's really that's my favorite definition of peace, is when your inner order is unfazed by outer disorder. That means anywhere that I go, if I bring me with me, I can restore peace to whatever situation I am. So I feel like if you're a person that can bring peace where you go, ultimately you are a regulator. We've all heard that song before. Regulators, mount up. Well, that's me, Danny. I'm a regulator. Everywhere that I go, I restore order and I bring peace. That's what I think a real warrior is. A real warrior isn't somebody who can come in and destroy and dominate and beat people up. Sure, I can do that too, Danny, if you were in the room with me. I honor you. I respect you, but I could turn you into a pretzel. But with my strength, I choose not to do that. I choose to use my strength, my power, my influence to lift other people up, because that's what real strength and power is. You know, strength is not enough. I'm looking for power, and power is strength and control. And I think that's just a life lesson. As you grow older and you gain more strength, you learn how to use it.
How do you instill that in your sons?
Yeah, it's practice. It's example. It's being very clear with him when I make decisions, to explain to him the why. Well, son, you know, the reason that we decide to do this is because I have a philosophy for it. I have a standard for it because our family values this. And I think when your sons and your daughters can understand most foundationally what, you know, for me, we call it the Weatherford way. When they can know what you value, what the standards are, what your philosophies are, and what's non-negotiable, it's really not that difficult for six children, two adults, and a dog to live in a 4,000 square foot home, which isn't that big considering how many people you have in here, because we all know what the expectation is, what the standards are, what our philosophy or things are. And I'll just kind of share it with you. The Weatherford Way, we're a disciplined and fearless family who grows and honors always, in always, with a joyful spirit of excellence. And just kind of in this last couple of minutes that we have, I'll kind of unpack what that means and how that helps us make decisions. We're fearless and we're disciplined. The reason those are core values in our family is I believe that fear is the number one robber of dreams coming to life. Is like, oh, I'm scared, right? So we choose to be the types of families that makes decisions where fear doesn't influence it. We're also disciplined because I don't care how many gifts God gives you, if you're not disciplined with them, none of them will be able to impact those around you and you'll die with those gifts. So discipline is very important. Growth and honor are also very important because I believe the God put us on this planet to grow and bless others. He didn't, you know, when we get to heaven, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, good job, Steve, good and righteous leader. No, it's good and faithful servant. So I need to make sure that I'm constantly growing and constantly serving those who are around me. Honor is another value that is very important. That's my number one core value because I believe the Weatherford Way, when you honor, everything in life works the way that God designed it to work. When we honor our body, it works the way that God designed it. When we honor our finances, it works the way that God designed it. When we honor relationships, when we honor our marriage, it works the way that God designed it to work. And then joy and excellence. I believe I've been around some of the most freaky athletes ever. And it's the guys that have great attitudes who end up having the longest, most fruitful careers, but also the guys that you want to be around as teammates. So I think joy is an incredible core value to instill into your family because everybody wants joy. And then excellence being the last core value, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so that represents the Weatherford Way really in a mission statement. And so when you're asking me, well, how do you get your sons to think like you and speak like you and act like you and do like you? Well, I make it less about the doing and more about the thinking, because if I can shift and reconstruct how they think about things and have them to grow up making decisions based upon virtues, values, commitments, and standards versus feelings, then I think I have constructed someone who can do what they want in life versus what life will let them do.
Beautifully, beautifully said, Steve. Love it. I love it. Thank you for coming here after 500 days. Hopefully I'll see you again in another 500, maybe in person. And I really appreciate you taking the time. I honor you for your ability to speak and communicate your truth so eloquently, with such passion, with such purpose. I'm incredibly grateful for that. You're the type of guest that you just get out of the way. You don't say anything because you already have what you need to do and you execute on it so well. I'm really grateful for you coming on here. Where can people connect with you further?
Yeah, I wanted to share my, and if you don't mind, Danny, putting it in a link in the show notes, Big Show will get that for you. It's 949-763-5934. I'll say it one more time, 949-763-5934. That's kind of the hub for how I like to communicate with people. Like, they can go over to social media. It's at Weatherford5. I'm sure you can drop that link too, but I mean, I'm burnt out on social media, man. Like they're destroying it, you know, like with all this crap that they're letting people see and the algorithm and all that. I'd rather just text message people. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to message you more than once or twice per week. And it's either going to be motivation. It's going to be inspiration. It's going to be a heads up if I'm going to be in your area. Because when you text me, I'll ask you what city that you live in. So if you're in Chicago or LA or Houston or something, when I come in to speak, I message everybody in that city in 100-mile radius. Hey, just giving you a heads up, I'm coming into your city to speak. I'm going to be working out in the morning at this time. So you never know when I'm going to pop into your hood if you don't live in a big city. Literally, you never know. I'm going up to Montana in about 3 weeks to go run a 50K Spartan. And so I say those things to say relationships really matter to me. And that's why I would like to be able to get into contact with the people that are here right now, because I don't know when I'm going to be in your city, man. And it only takes one moment boom, to take advantage of it. But if you're not connected, you won't get that opportunity. And then I'll also give you guys a heads up when this lifestyle app comes out, because I'm going to have my podcast and all my YouTube stuff on there as well. So anyway, Danny, thanks for allowing me an opportunity to serve your people. Thanks for being faithful to make this thing happen. And I'm really excited to talk to everybody on the text soon, man. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, man. And stay connected. Let me know when the show comes out and I'll help you promote it.
Yes, sir. On Monday. Man.